The opinions expressed in Reality Rangers are individual and not necessarily representative of Spirit Live or Toronto Metropolitan University. Thank you for listening.
Hello, listeners. My name is Malik Fortier.
And I'm Andrew Hill.
And welcome to a rebranded version of last season's Outwit, Outplay, Outyap. We decided that we not only want to cover the great show that is Survivor, but kind of branch off into more of a general reality TV world. And we've decided to rebrand ourselves as
Reality Rangers.
We'll give you the lay of the reality land. And this season, we decided to cover a show that is based in our home country, Traitors Canada, Season 3.
It's going to be really exciting. I'm pumped. I love Survivor, but I am so excited for this Traitors season.
I've always said, like, Traitors is one of those shows, like, I love the atmosphere, I love the treachery, I love the deception, I love the fights at the round tables. Like, this is my favorite.
Right. We were talking about this beforehand. I definitely have a much more Survivor Big Brother heavy skill set, but Malik has watched like so much
Traitors Australia.
It's his
UK,
time to shine.
US, Quebec, I'm ready to dive right in. And basically we're gonna start off the season like we did with Outwit, Outplay, Outyap by doing a preseason player introduction and also doing some preseason predictions and picks of who we think is going to do well.
And for those who aren't familiar with the show, The Traitors is a very up-and-coming, like, new reality show. It's been doing very well recently. You've probably heard of it at this point. But if you haven't, the way the show works is essentially a bunch of usually reality stars from other shows come together in a castle where a few of them are decided to, like, be traitors by production. These traitors have to murder,
quote-unquote,
all of the other faithfuls without getting caught and, like, not getting voted out at the round table. There's a lot of treachery. There's a lot of mystery. There's a lot of games for increasing cash prizes.
Yes.
And we've got a very, I would say, very villainous heavy cast this season.
Oh, this cast is going to get down and dirty and nasty at the round tables. That's what I'm most excited about. And, you know, past seasons have included players like Neda Klantar from season 2 and 5 of Big Brother Canada, as well as Kevin Martin from Big Brother Canada, Erica from Survivor, and just a lot of our favorite faces from the reality TV world as well. But we've also got some civilians. Canada does a kind of celebrities and civilians type format where there's, like I said, the aforementioned reality TV celebrities and, you know, maybe influencers, as well as some everyday run-of-the-mill people who are cast on the show. And I like it. It's a good mix of personalities.
Yeah, I feel like you don't get too overwhelmed by the, like, kind of overbearing nature of a lot of reality stars. And you get a chance to see these new people who could, like, shine in other ways.
Exactly. Like, from last season, some people I really liked. I really liked Kira. She was a traitor last season from the first season. I really liked Donna. She was fun. She was a psychic. And I'm a little biased because she was eventually on Battle of the Generations as a contestant like myself. So I ride for my BOTG family. But yeah, let's introduce the cast of season 3.
Yeah, so we're going to start by going through each of the, like, already known players. There's some of my favorite faces, so I'm very excited. And, you know, if we're going to start out with the notable cast members, we might as well start with one of my personal favorite reality stars, just in general. We got Venus Vafa from Survivor 46.
Queen Venus. I really think that the idol curse of Survivor 46 should have stopped. Well, I mean, it should have stopped at Hunter, frankly, because, you know, I love Tiffany, I love Q, but I wish it stopped at Tiffany because Venus is one of my favorites. You know, we don't often get Canadians on Survivor, but she really showed up and showed out. She may not have been the best strategist or the most well-liked socially, but she provided us good TV.
Yeah, she felt very, like, Survivor 10 to 20s. It was so, like, it never felt nasty in a, like evil way, but it always felt like really aggressive, really fun. she'll tell you anything to your face, and you will take it. Incredible to watch. Unfortunately, as you said, she fell victim to the 46 idol curse, got voted out with an idol in her pocket, and I was devastated. It was clear production didn't really enjoy her as much as the fans did, so we won't see her back for 50. However, she's here now, and I think she's going to thrive on a season like this.
Yeah, I think she'll excel on the Traitors, where it's all about clocking people's tea, tea as in traitor, and confronting people at the round table. I think that's going to be her strong suit.
Absolutely.
I think, as much as I would love Venus being a traitor, I think personally she's going to be a faithful, and she's going to be a messy faithful at that.
I absolutely agree. I have that like idea in my mind where she's probably going to end up being a faithful. So I'm really hoping she really gives the like vibes of a recruited traitor later down the line. So I think that would be like best case scenario if we saw her like get recruited. I think she'd be very level-headed, very like able to switch up fast and like stay on the attack as long as she can make it there, and I really hope she does.
Me too. Next up from Survivor 42, another Canadian Survivor icon, we've got Omar Zahir.
Omar, representing my hometown, I am so excited to see Omar. Again, another person that I think was snubbed from 50 just because like they didn't show any of the early new era representation. And Omar was such a fun presence that deserved so much more than like what the edit gave him.
I don't know if this is a hot take, but I'd rather see Omar play over Jonathan any day of the week.
Absolutely. Jonathan is kind of a misogynist and a like bad person, but he's...
But he won a challenge by himself!
No, but Omar was like always like, he was flipping the script. He was like being super dynamic and like playing these people. There were so many moments where like he had knowledge as power, but it wasn't even shown on screen because it just wasn't necessary to the plot. Like he was that important where they just didn't need to show everything he did.
He was just that person like behind the scenes, that puppet master orchestrating everything. And it took a fellow great Canadian player in Marianne to take him out of the game. Yeah. You know,
it was the best episode, best blindside of the season. Like it took so much to get him gone, and it was so iconic. And so I'm so glad he's back.
I'm glad he gets to get his redemption arc here, and I think he would fit very well as a traitor.
I think he will be a traitor. That's my prediction, because a lot of the U.S. and Canadian seasons will tend to have like either a Survivor or Big Brother or both, like have them as traitors. And I think Omar really fits the bill as like the person who in theory you've seen him play and you're like, yeah, he would be a traitor, but then when you're playing with him he'd be so dynamic where you're like, there's no way he's a traitor, and he would just be like so good at it
that, and he's just so lovable.
They want to snipe that as fast as possible. You know what, the next person I think is probably our best bet, but I think he could also be a traitor too. And that's perhaps Kevin Jacobs from Big Brother Canada 10.
Kevin Jacobs.
I love Kevin. He, again, another like under the radar villain who like is really cynical, like really maniacal, but you never see it because he's just so lovable.
I think, you know, being someone who hasn't watched his season but has seen clips of him, I think he would thrive in the castle because he can play that two-faced kind of game and you just can't stay mad at him. And I think he's got that killer instinct where, you know, if he was put as a traitor, he's not afraid to let people go left and right, and he's going to do it in which a way that I don't think many people will catch on to him, except for, you know, vice versa, people like Omar and the other former reality TV players.
I think Kevin will probably do well. The thing he was best at on Big Brother and the reason why he won his season was because he was so analytical and so good at knowing when to strike. Whereas so many of the other people that we've seen play previous Traitors seasons, like if we're going Traitors US, we had Dan on season 2, who really fell flat, even though he's one of the best Big Brother players, because he just didn't know the timing correctly.
Exactly.
Whereas I think Kevin Jacobs is going to be so like analytical and so approachable at the same time, where like he won't be just isolating himself, but he'll know what to do. And if he's a faithful, I still think he'll be able to like sniff out lies pretty damn well.
And when it comes to people who share names with other Big Brother Canada winners, we're moving from Kevin to Ty.
Yeah.
Ty McDonald, not to be confused with Tashawn Newman, whose father, Cedric, played on last season of Traitors Canada. It's a whole web, Madam's Web.
Interweaving.
Ty, what can we say about Ty?
Yeah, Ty was a very, how do I even describe it? Ty has been, I guess, a pariah of a winner. Like, it's been very, you love him or you hate him. He was kind of hated by his fellow players in the end game, but he was one of the biggest comp beasts we've ever seen. And so he kind of just, like, got to dominate the end game because no one could compare to him. Even if the challenges were equitable, he was just kind of that good.
Right, but you know, Traitors is not a challenge or comp-based game. Missions are solely to either put money in the pot or maybe get a shield, but I don't think his style of play will necessarily translate. Unless he has this big changeup in how he plays the game, I don't think he's going to fare as well on the Traitors as he did in Big Brother. And I think, you know, his best bet would be to be a faithful. Because I think he could, you know, maybe lay low because
right, like
he's not a big
out.
Personality.
Yeah.
But if he's a traitor, I don't know how that's going to go.
I am very worried for Ty. I think he's probably going to be a faithful, but I could see them really wanting that messy, like, meltdown of a player to be a traitor. I just wonder, like, I don't think he's, you know, challenges don't really matter aside from getting the money for the prize pot. But at the same time, you know, he was such a, like, divisive person, and most people just didn't like working with him. So at best, I think he could be a shield for another player like Kevin or Omer. At worst, he could be, like, first boot or,
right,
like, first round table boot, because there's no way a traitor would kill him. He's just too much of a out there personality.
Yeah, and you want him to help bring the money in. Now, with our last of the Big Brother players, we've got Coco from Big Brother Quebec, Celebrities. I'm pretty sure she's a comedian.
Yes.
And from what we know, she is a consistent player. She's mm-hmm. placed third in both of the seasons she played in. We're not counting that, like, offshoot game. Like,
yeah,
this
I wasn't
celebrity
sure what
summer
was going
games.
On with that, but it was bizarre. I'm only really focusing on the main two seasons she played where she got just outside of final two both times.
Which is a very commendable kind of game. Like,
yeah,
to be that consistent, it proves that she's got the social skills to make it to the end with, you know, two different groups. And if she's that adaptable in Big Brother, I think it could translate probably well to the Traitors. You know, she wasn't this person who relied on comps like Ty. She was probably more of a social person.
I did see, as I was trying to look into her a little bit, she was a little bit of, like, a easy target to put up on the
right.
block kind
she
of situation.
She probably took it well kind of thing.
Right. And I think, especially with her comedian background, like, she could be very social. She could, like, at the very least, you know, be very out there.
And, I mean, there's been a precedent for comedians doing well on The Traitors. I think season one of the UK had a comedian getting to the end. And, like I said, season two, we had Cedric, who was a comedian. Not that he did necessarily well, but I think there's, you know, some aspects about that job. You know, being able to bring light and humor to a otherwise tense environment that could help out with a game like this.
Yeah.
Next up for the reality stars, we've got Dominic Gabriel, I believe.
Yes.
From the Netflix reality universe. He's played The Mole, and he's been on Perfect Match.
Yeah, I don't know very much about Dom. I'm not very into much of the, like, reality dating show kind of shows. And I haven't watched The Mole yet, though I've seen he did get, like, third boot. So it's kind of hard to tell, like, where he's at. So you kind of would have to watch the, what was it called? Perfect Match? Yeah. Where I did see he did win, and there was the controversy that there might have been a cheating scandal between
Ooh.
The two winners.
Oh, my God. This is news to me. This
yeah.
is news to me.
Only
but,
learned it recently.
You know, he could maybe be the Tom Sandoval of this season.
He could be. I don't know much about him yet, but I am interested to see where he goes. I don't think he's going to be a traitor.
No. Next up on the Reality Stars, our second to last, they've got Kit and Caboodle from Canada's Drag Race Season 4.
Yeah. I don't think either of us are too in the know when it comes to the Drag Race seasons.
Yeah, not much. I'm not very well versed in that world, but...
But I feel like, in general, the Drag Race contestants on any of the seasons usually tend to have a very, like... like, they're known for being very boisterous, like, you know, out there. And I think... It's one of the most entertaining archetypes that we've seen.
For sure. You know, you've got Fierce from season one, Melinda from season two, and then in the U.S. you've got Bob the Drag Queen, yeah, and Peppermint and all them. They definitely, even if some of them leave early, they leave an impact, an impression at the round table. So it'll be fun to see that.
I'm very interested. I think there's a chance that they could be a traitor.
Perhaps.
It could be like a Bob the Drag Queen situation, yeah, like... You know, it's going to be a little messy, a little crazy, but it'll get there in the end.
Yeah. Next up, the last from the reality TV side of things, we've got Jade Hollywood, who is a choreographer for Canada's Drag Race, among other things.
Yeah.
Don't know much about Hollywood Jade.
That might be the person I know the least about. I'm interested to see where they go, but I really don't know much about them at all. And if they're a choreographer, they know how to, like, direct people.
Right.
You know, get people in line. They're a leader. So maybe we'll see that
in place.
Maybe
they'll rally some votes and some voting blocks at the round tables. That would be interesting.
We have two more notable faces. The first of the two we have is Sarah Nicole, who's like a... Mom blogger, influencer,
body positivity creator.
Yeah.
We've seen similar archetypes. Like, I think from last season, Lauren, who made it pretty far, was an influencer. And Sarah Nicole, she seems pretty likable. I did a little quick skim of her Instagram page, and she seems like a likable person. I think she seems no nonsense, though. I think she'll be willing to stand up for herself at the round tables. You know, being a mom, you've got to be able to put up with a lot of people, loud voices, right?
Yeah.
Little kids running around. She's going to control those round tables.
I think of the people that we know up to this point, she seems to me to be, like, the most faithful person I can think of. Like, I don't think they would ever make her a traitor. She feels very, like, Dolores-coded from, like, you know, that has to be a faithful vibe.
Right, but then that could work to her advantage if she does end up being a traitor.
Mm-hmm.
And finally, speaking of the housewife archetype, we've got... Kara from this is a pretty new installment. I think the Real Housewives of Toronto only started maybe a year or two ago. Do we watch Housewives?
No.
I don't, but...
I think there is a very consistent archetype with most of the housewives from previous installments.
Yeah. The precedent has been set that they're not great at the game. I mean... Dolores won, but how much of that was due to Dolores' gameplay? Not much.
Yeah.
However, if we get somebody like Phaedra, if Kara plays a little bit like Phaedra, I'm really interested because Phaedra, I think, shocked a lot of people. You know, if Kara's anything like Phaedra, sign me up, put her in the turret. I want to see how she plays.
Loved Phaedra. I'm just hoping that she doesn't have, like, if that's the case, she doesn't have the similar outcome to Phaedra,
yeah,
you know, just before
downfall.
The finale. I think the other thing to consider is, like, with other Traitor seasons with notable people, there's usually a lot of housewives, but it's just her this time.
Yeah.
So they can't, like, group together in that kind of way. There's a lot of civilians,
right,
taking the place of where the housewives would have been. So I think we'll have to see her, like, play scrappy because she doesn't have that fallback that a lot of other seasons tend to have.
Yeah, there's usually, like, a big voting block. We especially saw in seasons 2 and 3 of the U.S. Traitors that was a big point of contention for a lot of players. And now we move on to the civilians. See, we're not going to know much about these civilians, but we can still, you know, do a little rapid fire. I'm going to go through each of them and just, you know, list off their jobs, and I'm going to say if they give me traitor or if they give me faithful, and you can give your little take on which they would be too, okay?
Yeah.
So for Asphere is an event planner. Let's, you know, plan a murder. I'm going to say Asphere could be a good traitor.
They don't give me the greatest, like, longevity vibes.
Yeah.
But I think they could be a fun presence early on.
Right. Okay. And this is Shala, but spelt with C-A-G-L-A. Shala, this is one of the interesting civilians, because Shala is coming into the game with their partner Meredith, and they're keeping that a secret. See, if you watched last season of The Traitors Canada, you saw that Nick and Kira were secret siblings, and nobody figured it out. And that really helped them out, because they had somebody in their corner looking after them.
It does work in your favor, but it can get quite messy, especially if they make one of them a traitor.
Next up, we have Curtis, who is a sales director.
I'm getting nothing.
He's giving me nothing.
It's a very faithful vibe.
Yeah,
you
faithful,
know?
Goes out mid-game. Next up, we have Jamal, who is a correctional supervisor. So he has experience with people who, you know, break the law maybe and murder folks potentially.
Right. But I think he could also fall into like that, like, cop archetype of a lot of reality shows where, like, they really overestimate themselves, could overplay. I don't think they're going to be a traitor.
All right. For the next one, we've got Jericho, who is a banking advisor. I almost thought that said baking advisor. And I'm like, okay, what is this? Great Canada's Great Bake Off? No.
I wish.
Jericho, banking advisor, okay. He doesn't stick out to me much. And I don't know. Maybe he can prove me wrong.
I want him to prove me wrong. I think he could do very well for all I know.
Lizette is a waitress, and that's a different job. A lot of these are administrative and, you know, white collar. I want to see how Lizette plays. Like, a waitress means you're personable. You've got to get those tips, so you got to like butter people up. So I'm looking forward to Lizette. Maybe she could be a traitor. I don't know.
I think she could be like pretty good as a traitor. Could be like just a generally good kiss ass, you know, like building people up for them to topple down.
Yeah, I'm going to, you know, root for Lizette for sure. Then we have Mackenzie, who is a power engineer.
It's a fine job, but it doesn't really tell us anything.
Yeah. Then we have Natalie, who is a fleet dispatcher.
So I don't really know what that entails. I think it could be good, because I assume it's like a communications operator between like airplanes and pilots and stuff.
If your job has communication in it to some regard, I think that prepares you a little bit for a game like this. Then we have Rhea, who is an office admin. Okay, snooze fest. Sorry,
go girl,
Rhea.
Give us nothing.
Then we have Shaughnessy. Shaughnessy is a beautiful name. I love the name, Shaughnessy.
Very long.
Shaughnessy is an account manager.
You know, I want them all to prove me wrong.
I want
this to be a great
season.
I want
to see how people misspell her name on the board.
I completely forgot about that. That's going to be fun.
That is going to be fun. And then finally we have Thompson.
Yes.
Thompson is a brand manager, which is a little bit different because you've got that PR angle. So
right. You
might have a better time at, you know, persuading people and getting people to think one thing. So maybe let's see Thompson as a traitor. It's alliterative.
I think we're going to have a lot to talk about in the first episode.
For sure.
So that, you know, we'll have a chance to understand these people. Hopefully we'll get some screen time for them all. But overall, I'm very excited. I love a lot of the people who are notable for the season. And I think there's a lot of potential for the civilians to kind of prove us wrong, tell us why they're not boring.
Exactly. If I had to make one celebrity and one civilian pick for who I'm rooting for, I would take Omer for the celebrities, and I'm going to root for Lizette for the civilians.
My bets would be on Kevin Jacobs. And I feel like we could see, like, I don't know, crazy pick. Maybe, like, we could see Mackenzie just come out of nowhere, have a lot of fun with it. I am always going to root for Venus, though.
I want Venus to have a shield every episode.
Absolutely. I want her to get to the end, regardless of faithful or traitor. I want her to blow my mind. I want her to show why she's the greatest player of all time.
And then maybe Survivor will see what they were missing out by not casting her again, and we'll get her on season, I don't know, 53.
But yeah, that's about it for our preseason predictions. Hopefully we'll have much to talk about in our first official episode.
Yeah, and we will meet back in the turret to discuss the events of the premiere of Traitors Canada Season 3, and we hope you listen along with us. So, yeah.
thank you for tuning in. I hope you stayed from last season. It's nice to have the rebrand, and I'm excited for the future.
I'm excited too. Thanks for listening, and this has been episode one of
Reality Rangers.